magical hour. I'm Matthew and Schaefer. Podcast Spectacular.
The new way it is only the way it is until the new way it is, and that is only the way it is until the new way it is, and so on and so forth, till the earth is no longer flat, and we no longer use ribbons to tie our shoes.
Night is coming to Texas. So I hear. I can feel the earth kind of just turn a little bit. You know, we're turning, always turning. Turning away from the sun, turning towards the sun. Welcome to episode 199, One Magical Hour, a Matthew and Schaefer podcast spectacular. In this episode, we are going to try to figure out what it means. The churn of life. I'm sitting here with my podcasting partner of coming up 5 years now, Schaefer Hall. We're in the ivy-covered castle. We've just been talking back and forth about the things that are going on in this country and in this world right now, and really we feel like we're in the churn of life, you know? After the churn, like the clothes are clean, you know what I mean? So I've heard. Let's see what Schaefer Hall has to say about all this. Chafee?
Matthew, behave. That's what I say when we're together. But what would they say if they ever heard us? So we're talking just as fast as we can, hoping that we're making any sense. Tapping the robot into the night, and then you hit the record button, and I'm singing in the mic, and Matthew says, I think we're podcasting. There does seem to be a few downloads around. I think we're podcasting. The flapping of our jaws is the only sound.
The flapping of the shy halud is the only sound.
I definitely need to get reading glasses. Matthew.
Yeah. Reading glasses are really helping me understand what in the hell is going on around here.
Helping you. I gotta say,
yeah, I'm really attached to my glasses at this point. I mean, you know, the subtext of this show is death and middle age and poetry. And you know what has really helped me enjoy poetry lately is optics.
Reading glasses.
Glasses are amazing, yeah. Schaefer, did you know that I have open-angle glaucoma?
No.
Yeah, I have a spot in my right eye where what I'm reading online, it says that my eye is not draining properly, and so there's too much pressure in my eyes, and so I have this little spot in my field of vision that's sort of going away. I remember when I was a kid and I wanted to be an artist, and I thought how terrible it would be to be blind. But it looks like I might live long enough to find out what that's like. So I'm taking a prescription. I'm taking some prescription drops to treat my glaucoma.
How does it manifest?
Well, I will say that I've never noticed it before until this last week, when I guess there's just been enough stress in my life, and my wife thinks I was having an ocular migraine. Ouch. It's kind of like you looked at the sun in one eye, and so there's this, I have this little spot in my right eye, in the, say, in the lower left quadrant of my right eye that's struggling. And that's my optic nerve damage. So, whoo, this podcast is going to be fun.
My left eye is kind of blurry sometimes, which I have diagnosed as macular degeneration.
Oh, is that right? See, I've been wearing sunglasses, like prescription sunglasses. Imagine a doctor said, I'm going to give you a prescription for sunglasses.
Okay.
Since I got married to my wife, I decided I would spend good money on sunglasses because she had an eye doctor tell her that the best thing you can do for macular degeneration is protect your eyes. So for the last 20 years, I've really been protecting my eyes against macular degeneration, but it didn't matter because glaucoma came and got me.
Snuck in another way.
Yeah.
Great to see you. Great talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Great good to see here. You.
You and with Hobbs here. Hobbs, you're a terrible podcaster. You never say anything.
Schaefer has a plush toy Hobbs tiger, Calvin and Hobbs tiger. Did you hear the AC come on just now?
I think that the mic on the Pro thing mostly gets rid of that. But.
Well, I would just like to say it's February 8th. And we've got the AC cranking here
yeah.
in Texas.
Yeah, okay, because it is 89 degrees outside.
Because it's 89 degrees outside today in Texas.
So and, that's great.
And that's great. And remember a couple weeks ago when LA was on fire and there was snow in New Orleans and Trump became the president? Ooh. And then Elon Musk don't come on in and don't gut everything out.
He's going to send some unhinged emails to all of the federal employees.
The reason we're calling episode 199 The Churn of Life is because that's how Schaefer and I are feeling just talking about current events before the podcast here. Schaefer, did you get a letter from Elon Musk?
I did not. No, I'm so just really so jealous. Where's my email, Elon? I'm not jealous at all.
Did you ever want to work for the federal government?
No, it never even occurred to me.
Yeah, it never occurred to me either. But you know some people who work for the federal
government. I do, yeah.
And they got an email
from Elon. They got emails from Elon.
Emails from Elon, okay.
The emails said, apparently the emails were cut and pasted from the emails he sent out when he took over Twitter.
Copy paste.
Decided to gut that business and...
I hear for efficiency, you should always copy and paste.
Yeah, apparently.
You know? Don't generate any new thoughts or words. It's better to just copy and paste from the past, which seems to be what we're doing in this country now, right?
The email basically said, if you want, you can take a severance package and leave the government, leave your job right now. You'll be on call till May, but we want you to stay at home and basically after September, nobody that we don't want to work here is going to work here. And we'll pay you until then. Which, none of this stuff.
And how many federal workers is that? Is like 2 million workers? Something like that?
Gosh, I don't even know. But yeah, there's a bunch. Some people might say too many. And
too many? That's what Elon says,
I am
right?
All, well, yeah, you know, all kinds of wags.
I see.
Which, all right.
Is that wives and girlfriends?
I find is, I mean, that's fine if you feel that way, but this is not the way to correct that problem. To let an unqualified lunatic come in and it doesn't matter. Like, oh.
Now, Schaefer, you are casting aspersions. To call Elon a lunatic is not fair.
All right, come at me.
Okay, he's the richest guy in the world. Is that right? Is that something like that? And hey, remember when we started this country? And we were trying to get away from the rich guys just making all the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember that?
Tariffs, say, on tea, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay.
I mean, honestly, I think that's all we can say about the Super Bowl's tomorrow.
The Super Bowl is tomorrow.
I'm grasping straws here. Oh, New Orleans. I did not realize that it snowed in New Orleans.
It snowed in New Orleans.
Pretty exciting and bizarre. But also, it snowed. Matthew snowed on New Orleans.
And I went to New Orleans last weekend.
Yeah.
Can I tell you and the listeners of OMH a little about New Orleans? Can I just tell you a little story about it?
Tell me all about it. I love that town.
Well, I had never seen a Mardi Gras parade before. And we went to a Mardi Gras parade, the Chewbacca's crew Mardi Gras parade. Actually, I was going to bring up the
Chewbacca. So now, this is one of the many parades in observance of Mardi Gras. So, right, is there really
a... Okay, so technically the crew is the intergalactic crew of Chewbacca's. And this was the Chewbacca's Parade 2025. And the theme of the parade this year was the rise of the superb owl. Because the Super Bowl is taking place this weekend in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I was there last weekend.
But you can't say Super Bowl or the NFL will get at you for whatever it is, not breach of contract.
You gotta say the big game.
Yeah,
but we're gonna say superb owl.
I'm gonna say Super Bowl as many times as possible, and I'm gonna call this the Super Bowl episode and see if we can get a cease and desist.
Could you call it the Super Bowl, the churn of life? Okay. The superb owl,
the churn life of life. The life and times of poet George Strickland.
So, back to the podcast. We went to New Orleans last weekend to celebrate our friend Lisa's 50th birthday. And we were staying on Frenchman Street at the R&B B&B. We met this woman, Karen. Now, Karen had been adopted early in life, as you often are when you get adopted. It's early in life. Karen was adopted by a family in Santa Cruz, California. A well-to-do family in Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, nice.
She grew up in Santa Cruz, California. Let's take a minute right here.
Sounds pretty cool.
Now, Shafi, you grew up in San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Lubbock, mm-hmm. right? I grew up mostly in Lubbock. I spent some time in DFW.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely in my 20s before I ever visited Northern California. But I can definitely say that there's an inequality between somebody who grows up in Lubbock, Texas, and somebody who grows up in Santa Cruz, California. Right? Do you feel the inequality? Lubbock is a high desert, basically. It's a plateau 3,500 feet above sea level. Okay?
Good job knowing that off the top.
Yeah. And it's very flat and it's very dry. And it can be a little boring. Now, that does create, it's fertile ground for creativity. Right?
Absolutely.
Our creative roots go down into that soil. Lubbock is an isolationist vibe, you know? Lubbock is for people who like city services, but they don't want to really be around people. It's a long way from Santa Cruz, California. And it's a very long way from New Orleans, both of which are at about 0 to 50 feet above sea level.
Yeah.
Okay. So Karen, she was grown. A grown woman. She was adopted and she got married and had kids. And when she was like in her 40s, her uncle contacted her from New Orleans and said, Karen, we've been looking for you. We've been looking all over for you. You should come to New Orleans. We got a bar and we run an inn. Come help us here. And so Karen is the innkeeper.
This is a blood uncle or is this the...
This is her uncle. Okay. This is her bio mom's brother contacted her late in life. After she's already... She'd been in the hospitality industry. She had managed restaurants and that was her vibe. But... and Amy and I, we don't love B&Bs, but I booked us at this B&B, and we really came out of the whole experience with a new friend. We love Karen. Midweek, I was like, I wonder what Karen's up to. She told us all about her life. Of course, I asked questions of her. I said, where are you from? And, you know, what? And she told me that whole story of how.
Like a good Dick Cavett inspired podcast.
Of course, of course. She did. I should have recorded it all. She really told us all about her life. We were going to the sci-fi themed Mardi Gras parade, which the parade route was like, so her wonderful 150-year-old New Orleans house where this Airbnb is, the R&B B&B on French Street in New Orleans. Okay.
I've partied on French Street.
In the Marigny.
It was great.
Frenchman Street is incredible. Yeah. And the parade route was just across Washington Square from the B&B. So as the parade started and I realized that, oh, this is going to take 2 hours, it was nice because we could just go back over to the B&B and get another. I got myself a pocket sake. I invented something in New Orleans, actually. They sell all these sakes that are just like a little jar and then it's sealed. And if you just put that in your vest pocket, then you have a pocket sake. And that's power, my friend. I met this group. Well, re-met. Let me say, I reintroduced myself to a group of space Vikings who I had remembered my Celtic roots. I remembered through the ages they had pillaged my village many, many eons ago. I saw those guys again. And I was like, oi, I remember you guys, space Vikings, you know? And then this guy came over to me and he had this like lighted tipped staff and he like put it in my chest and the thing lit up and he was like, I guess he was like fake killing me there at the side. And I was like, I remember you from ages past. And then he killed me. But then I reached into my pocket and I had pocket sake. Oh, yeah. I showed it to him and I was like, pocket sake. And they were like, what? No, you gotta be kidding me. So, you know, that saved my life. But Karen, we were going to this sci-fi themed parade and Karen dressed Amy up as Princess Leia.
Nice.
She had a Leia costume and she did her hair all right. And when you are in society dressed as Princess Leia, people treat you pretty special. You know what I mean? Amy was like, people are like wanting to take pictures with me. And, you know, this and that was happening. And Lisa and Chris had all of these owls and Lisa had kind of an owl head she was wearing. And Chris was wearing a hat that looked like an owl was attacking him. And I took one of the owls and I put it on my shoulder. And I had this, Yoda t-shirt and then I had an owl on my vest on my shoulder. And I was just interacting with the parade the whole route through. And I'm sure that, you know, I've made a fool of myself, but,
That's kind of what it's all about. Isn't
yeah.
It?
I mean, you know, Lisa was explaining to me, you know, the parade route, people from the parade, they give you things, but you can also give things to the parade people too. And so I was making jokes and so let me go back to the Chewbacca's 2025, the intergalactic crew of Chewbacca's. Imagine a parade where each crew chooses some niche of sci-fi. The Borg, Indiana Jones, Sharknado. Like, there were so many. Harry Potter, fantasy, sci-fi, everything was on display.
Love it.
There were like 160 different groups representing different things. And the parade went on for 2 hours and my mind was absolutely blown. I had so much fun. The whole community came together. Everybody was having so much fun. There were all these kids there. You know, you think of a Mardi Gras parade and you think of beads and people showing breasts or whatever. That's not, I mean, that's like,
one small part of it.
Yeah, that's one small part of thing. It. Yes. This was just like a totally amazing community gathering. And then let me say this too about New Orleans and Santa Cruz, California. These places, they have such soul, you know, they have these feelings. Of course, like, I mean, we talk about places all the time, San Francisco, New York City, whatever place it is. But New Orleans is a place that has really held on to its soul. And it's just steaming and bubbling like the gumbo itself, you know, and it's still going there. And I gotta say, we had such a magical weekend visiting New Orleans, meeting Karen, seeing the R&B B&B. Amy and I also took a massive walk on Saturday. We walked from the waterfront and the Marigny, and we walked all the way to City Park. And there's the New Orleans Museum of Art. And we went in there and they were having a glass exhibition.
Cool.
And I'm talking glass through the ages. They had a bottle there from Roman times. There were some really old glass in there. And then they had all this modern art with glass. They had some Dale Chihulies, you know. Chihuly is a famous glass artist. And that was blowing my mind. And then we went kind of through their regular collections. And this is similar to when I went to Chicago. It's like, you see this art that was made, you know, hundreds of years ago. And I don't know, I just get re-inspired every time. And I just had this weekend in New Orleans that just set my heart on fire, honestly, for people, for culture, for, I mean, look, we're all coming together again this weekend in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Between the Chiefs and the Phillies, and you know, it's so crazy that we're in this churn with all of our fellow Americans, and there's so much good going on, but there's also this crazy other side of everything happening.
Can you help me understand what?
I know I talked a lot. I talked for like 20 minutes straight. Sorry.
So this parade is going on, and how does it fit into the bigger picture of Mardi Gras exactly?
So Mardi Gras is a whole season. This was the first parade of the season.
Okay,
and cool. In fact, this weekend they didn't have parades because of the Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
And then as Mardi Gras is on March 4th this year, and as you get closer to the Fat Tuesday, there's like three to four parades all, you know, and it starts at 8 a.m. this parade, and then this parade starts at 10:30. But this was just one parade that started at 8 p.m. and it was sci-fi themed. And there was probably, I don't know, 1,000 people in the parade. And they had spent all of this time through the year crafting their costumes and they weren't throwing beads. They were giving away, you know, little trinkets to people who seem, just people that were having fun in the crowd. Everybody that we were with were dressed. Amy was dressed up as Princess Leia. I had an owl on my shoulder. When the Harry Potter crew came by, I started repping Ravenclaw really loud. Like, I was like, where's my Ravenclaw at? Yeah, Ravenclaw. Nobody reps Ravenclaw hard. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely most associate with
Ravenclaw. I like wit. I like wisdom.
Yep.
You know?
They're kind of like a Slubbockiner. They're kind of, you know.
Yeah, I think Ravenclaw, there's a bunch of.
They're also kind of goth.
I think there's a bunch of Ravenclaw in our Lubbock High crew.
And there's lots of goth, obviously, the Edgar Allan Poe and the Raven, so I'm into that too. What? Tell me more about the...
When I came back to Austin, a city I love very much, I was collecting my baggage at the airport. And there's a recording that they play in the baggage claim area at the airport. It's Kirk Watson, the mayor of Austin. Hi, I'm Kirk Watson, the mayor of Austin, Texas. We're the live music capital of the world. Everywhere you go in Austin, there's music to be... It's not like that. We've lost the soul of this town somehow. And when you compare it to New Orleans, I mean, maybe there was never any comparison, you know, but... And
there have always been two different towns.
Sure, but it just seems a little disingenuous, you know?
I understand that. Austin, like, most of that is an idea more than a thing. So I feel like anytime you say, oh, like, this place has lost so-and-so, then, you know, I always think, like, that's on you. If, you know, if there's not enough live music in your town, make some live music. If there's not enough comedy in your town, make some comedy. There's not enough,
well,
drinking at bars in your life, go drink at more bars. You know, there's all these things are all, you know, problems that can be solved.
Okay, but what you're talking about is the serenity prayer. God, here, let's just look that up real quick. So let me get that right. The serenity prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships and pathway as the pathway to peace, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. Amen. You're saying that there are things that you can change, but an economic situation like we have in Austin, that's what's
sure.
Oh boy, here comes we need a Marx puppet, you know. Oh boy, here comes Matthew the Marxist. We have an economic climate here where it's really hard to be an artist.
Yes.
And it's really hard to be a musician because we don't pay artists and we don't pay musicians what their value. Our value systems are jacked up right now. And
once again, I think we're using our you know, it is important to recognize problems, and if you can try to change those problems, then, you know. But I don't.
Well, I'm experiencing a lot of things in life that are the accept the things I cannot change, you know.
Sure.
I cannot change the outcome of the election. I cannot change who President Trump pals around with. I'm having to really dial my mental health in with that and really silo the things that I cannot change because they are innumerable. And it makes me so sad that I come to my own podcast and say that and say that Austin has lost his soul. Schaefer picked up Hobbes, and
I wanted to hear more about the Indiana Jones float.
Well, it wasn't even really a float. Like they just had like the Ark. They just had the Ark of the Covenant, basically, and then they also had a setup where there was the idol. They had the idol, you know, and then maybe there was a big ball too, but there were many indies running. Cool. And I got this coolest pin, like a pin for your jacket, you know, and it came on a little piece of paper, and it's a skull, and it's just kind of like multicolored, and it says, this belongs in a museum or on a really nice denim jacket. I also got some prayer beads from the indie group.
Wow.
That are really nice.
Like wooden prayer beads?
Like wooden prayer beads. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe I got those from the Bene Gesserits. I can't remember.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I wish I could tell you. I wish I had a list of all of the crews from the Chewbacca Rise of the Superb Owl Parade.
I think I'm just going to have to find a way to go experience this myself.
I think that that's my parade.
Sounds like it's right up my alley.
It felt really like kismet that the first thing of that type was sci-fi themed. Like that seemed like it was made for me, you know. It was incredible in so many ways, and it's such a dissonance from the churn of the news and the flooding of the zone.
Yeah. What you told me that you recently had an interesting conversation with your daughter.
I got the croup.
Yeah.
Everybody's got the croup right now. Yeah. And, you know, this trip to New Orleans was also crucial because it was a time for me and my wife to reconnect.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't done nearly enough of that. And it was great. We had a magical couple of days together. And we remembered why we're doing these things together and what we're doing. And then we get back with our kids and we realize that, oh, the stress of raising our children is a big part of the reason that we are having trouble paying attention to our relationship. And so how should I say this? How did Shakespeare say it? The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with
they keep coming,
my kids are just always throwing stuff at me. And at dinner one night this week, my daughter started talking about how I'm a square.
Which I feel like, I want to hear more about this, but I feel like if your daughter doesn't think you're square, then something's probably not right.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel a little better. I assured her that I was not. And that she doesn't understand the world enough. And, you know, I realize that she probably doesn't know enough about the real me, you know, because when I'm with her, I'm dad.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. You're doing your job, right? You're not. Your job is not to make your daughter think you're the coolest person in the world who can party his nuts off until dawn, right?
Right. There's none of that. There's no party till dawn. What are you talking about, Schaefer?
Even though some of us know.
Yeah, my daughter doesn't know
I'm one of the people who knows that you fully well can do that,
I've done it before. My daughter doesn't understand where I've been, what I've seen. Yeah. I do, and I've talked about this here, I think. I do present pretty square. I am an average size, middle-aged, well, I'm getting on the long in the tooth, middle-aged white male with brown eyes and brown hair. I am very nondescript. I mean, part of that is just like the practicality of like how I like to live. And I have been bothered lately about how I really don't present like I feel inside, but I'm pretty sure by the strictest definition, I'm not a square. Now, my daughter sees me and she sees me eating right and going to the gym.
Yeah.
And working hard, mowing the lawn. And, you know, I can see how I do. I might seem a little square to her.
Matthew.
Go ahead, Chafee.
If it's any consolation, those are the things about you that I find absolutely inspirational and wonder. And I want to be a little more like Matthew in that regard. I want to know more like, was there a specific thing like, was there something you said in the conversation, or is this just something that's been on her mind lately?
I think I was lecturing about eating healthy, you know, and I'm really anti-sugar.
Yeah.
And
good for you. Once again,
I think that my parents shortened their lives because they bought in to the American, they grew up in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and there was this revolution in food convenience in this country. there was fast food and there was all this processed food. And of course, we're learning what all this processed food has done to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that my parents shortened their lives by just really buying into fast, convenient food.
So Isabel's opinion on this comes from not having Pop-Tarts for breakfast. Like, Isabel, listen here. Pop-Tarts are literally square. There's nothing squarer than a Pop-Tart for breakfast.
I mean, okay. Maybe she's right. Maybe I am a square. But, boy, I mean, I'm talking about it on the podcast. It's been rattling.
Do you feel like a square?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm the opposite. You
know why? Because you're not a square.
I'm the opposite of a square.
You're one of the least square people I know.
I'm a cat, you know? I'm like a cool cat. And I, squares, you know, accept their government severance, you know?
Kids' opinions, while they should be considered, you know, are often very funny, very misinformed things, right?
Okay, well, let's rubbish that then. or I don't know. I think now my relationship with her is like, I guess it's good she thinks I'm a square, you know. It'll give her something to rebel against.
Yeah. Personally, yeah. I love this story because I think it's hilarious. Because, yes, of course, the way Isabel looks at you, I can see why maybe she thinks square. But it's positively ironic, me knowing who you are. And
it seems silly.
And especially, like, you know, when you think about, you know, we got a lot of friends who are, you know, button-up polo shirt wearing, you know, slide-on loafer. I don't know, whatever. The kind of be. And that's that for you to. For someone's childish brain to put you in there makes it all the funnier because you are so outside of that. And sometimes I think that that's fun. I think it's fun to wear polo shirts because I know people look at them a certain way and people don't know me and don't know exactly how loco I have been in, not only in my whole life, but maybe just last weekend. And so I think it's hilarious when people put me in those kind of corners, just because of all the irony that's there. Did you know my good friends, Tom and Joan, we got to get both of them on the podcast at some point, Tom and Joan in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They drove their van to Minnesota. And to New York, when they moved to New York, they just decided, all right, we're artists, we're musicians. We need to go to New York. Drove to New York. They drove off of the Brooklyn Bridge into Brooklyn, and their van came to a stop in front of Pedro's, which is the first place I ever bartended.
Okay.
And so that became their art. Pedro's was a deeply weird place. We're going to have to do a whole episode on Pedro's at some point. Okay. That's where my buddy Lewis, we remembered him in one of the podcasts. That's where I met him. Tom and Joan made that their home bar. They lived in their van when they first moved there. So they left the van parked in there. It's called Dumbo, down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass, and hung out it. And that's where they met me. And I was still wearing khakis every day and my polo shirts and going down to work at Standard & Poor's on Wall Street, right? And then
you were trying to be a square.
Twice a week.
You were hoping to be a square.
I would get off work. I would take the JMZ train under the bridge. Sorry, it doesn't matter. Maybe that's actually the B or the D under the bridge. Anyway, and I would get out. And so I'd be standing there, and Pedro's is a deeply weird place. It was full of artists and outcasts and carpet manufacturer, blue-collar workers, and all kinds of nutty stuff. And I would stand there, and I basically bullshitted my way into a bartending job. I'd never really bartended before. So I was just trying to keep things together, you know, being in charge of doing this job that I didn't really know exactly how to do. And so I came off to these people, you know, in my polo shirt, you know, being like, I'm sorry, folks, happy hour's over. You know, your beer is now going to cost, you know, So when Tom and Joan saw me, like, they couldn't believe I seemed very out of place there in my khakis. And they started a joke that Tom told her one night. He's like, what if secretly Schaefer's a total wild man? And when he gets off work, he completely goes off the rails and goes wild. And of course,
secretly,
of course, it was a few weeks later when we had exactly one of those nights. And they thought it was the funniest thing in the world because everything that they joked about was actually true. And
so you were presenting as a square.
That became...
But partially because of that job you had on Wall Street.
Yeah, all sorts of reasons. It doesn't matter why. You know.
Khakis.
And we laughed about that so hard. And that was from then on, the whole thing is they see me like, Schaefer, off the rails! Like, that was their tagline for me. To the point of all this is, everybody's going to try to put you in their idea of the world. And that says everything about their idea of the world, absolutely nothing about you, you know?
Yeah. Well, Amy says that she loves that I'm a square. She loves me for being
a square. I was more or less, making the same argument, I think. Yeah, there's a lot about you that, I mean, also I find, your artistic ability inspiring. You know, I love it that you go after, you're on yourself to go after comedy, go after art, and, even if you're not necessarily doing these things, you still are inspired to do them, want to do them. And that's, but also, I love the fact that you take care of your kids. I love the fact that you mow your lawn. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't always, because of my habits, I don't do. And, it's not because I don't want to do them. It's just, the way the routines that I've gotten into make it, very difficult for me to do them. And, I look at you and I want to be more like you. So then that's, being squares, being a wild man or whatever. That's just really how I feel about you. And once again, this is me. This is something that I'm bringing to the table. You know, this is my need seeing you fulfilling these things that I know I need to do. And, that's wonderful.
It's all good. It's all good.
Which I know. And
except the fascism that's running our government right now. Yes, that too, of course. Besides that, it's all good.
And
no. I mean, that, there's probably a reason for all that too. We need a little shake up. I think we're going to get one.
If I worked really hard, I could put a positive spin on the current administration, but I'm not sure I have that in me right now.
I think it's too soon. You know what I mean? Yeah. Too soon. We got to see how things are playing out a little bit here. We got to see who takes the buyouts.
And we should definitely give Derek and/or Amy a call.
So you have some close friends.
These are friends who are
longtime friends.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground
in Washington, D.C. Yeah.
And they got an email from Elon.
Amy got it. Derek works for the Library of Congress, so he's obviously that's legislative.
Are they
branch,
thinking about shutting that down?
Not executive branch. They probably fucking are, Matthew. Yeah. Nothing would surprise me anymore, but at least they're like, Derek, I talked to him on the phone late last Saturday night, and he was like, we're really worried about Amy's job. Mine, not so much, because, that's the way our government is set up, right? The executive, legislative, and judicial branch are all supposed to offset each other. So he's on the legislative side. That should be, but, who the fuck
knows? But it's not going, it's not working right.
Of course.
It appears to not be working right. The presidency seems to be a little heavily weighted these days. I don't know.
So we'll see
what happens.
Continues to be 99 degrees right through winter in Texas. Then, like I said before, maybe we won't have to worry about 4 years from now anyway.
Right. So we got the crazy. Okay. So I haven't even looked at the show sheet. So we had the crazy weather. I got that on the bottom of the show sheet.
Hobbs,
we had New Orleans, Chewbacca's Rise of the Superb Owl. We got Hobbs here with us, plush Hobbs. We talked about Elon.
Gotta contribute more to the podcast.
That's nice of you to say that the things that I'm doing inspire you. I do want to inspire other people. I wish that I could be less inspired because I know I don't have time to like create all the things I want to. I'm going to be turning 49 this year. And what I really want to do between 49 and 50 is record an album. You know, like all, I sort of want to record an album of like all different genres of music. Like, awesome. You know,
I think everybody has an album in them.
But I mean, come on, like we're coming up on baseball and softball season and like, how am I going to record an album? Like I'm still trapped in the same thing, but I've decided, Chafee, I'm not giving up. Wait, I didn't say that right. Let me say it again. I'm not giving up. You got to have a long pause first. I'm not giving up. That was too long. But anyway, you see what I'm getting at. So,
yeah.
Remember when people would say in your senior year of high school that people were like, these are the best times of our lives. I reject that.
I 100%
agree. I'm trying to still be on the, I'm trying to still come up.
Honestly, I feel like people who compare, you know, comparing your 20s to your 50s, that's like comparing Austin to New Orleans, you know. there's good to be found in both those towns. Sometimes you got to find it, you know. Sometimes it's not obvious to you, but it's all up to you. It's up to you to have as much fun in your 50s as you did in your 20s or whatever it is. Whatever it is that might be getting you. And Matthew, man, it's hard. That's the one thing that I know. It's hard for everybody. It doesn't matter. You know, it does matter if you're the richest person in the world or the poorest person in the world. There are some legitimate problems that present themselves to poor people that rich people don't have to deal with. But still, having fun in their lives is still their responsibility, no matter who they are, no matter who we are, no matter what town you live in. And that's the same as like, you know, me cleaning my apartment or losing weight or whatever. That's my responsibility. And, you know, you got to find yourself in the deal. You got to find it in yourself to record an album, just like you have to find it in yourself to take the trash out or, you know, or just to have fun and be happy. Now, I am not brushing off depression or anything. Those are real feelings that we all have. Those really exist. But it's important. The most important thing to me to remember in all of these, you know, crazy times where it seems like everything's overwhelming you is that, you know, problems can be fixed. And my happiness starts with me.
Yeah.
And Matthew's not a square. And ends no matter with, what and Isabel ends,
says. Happiness starts with you and ends with Elon. Well, let's talk about what happened at the end of the last episode. When was that a random poem that we pulled out?
We pulled it off. I found that poem at random.
We pulled a random poem, but now we've sort of gone on a deep dive on the.
We've learned a little author, more about this George Trakl character, the life and poetry of George Trakl.
George Trakl, who died at 27, much like Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix. And
we decided he was an Austrian fellow, yes.
Yes, George Trakl, Austrian poet. He had a famous pianist. Pianist,
yeah, his sister was Greta.
Oh, Greta Trakl. Okay.
Was a performance pianist. He had a government job of some kind. I'm trying to remember.
He studied pharmacy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He went to the University of Vienna for pharmacy.
Yeah.
Which I think got him access to the cocaine and morphine that caused him a lot of problems.
Yeah, and the guy got really into cocaine and morphine.
But also maybe some PTSD there, too.
Well, he served in World War I with the Austro-Hungarian Army. And he was sent as a medical officer to attend to soldiers on the Eastern Front.
That could not have been an easy thing.
He suffered from frequent bouts of depression. On one such occasion, during the Battle of Goldeck, did I say that right? Trakl had to steward the recovery of some 90 soldiers wounded in the fierce campaign against the Russians. He tried to shoot himself from the strain, but his comrades prevented him. Hospitalization at a military hospital in Krakow followed that, and then he lapsed into more depression, and anyway.
We're going to have to put some sort of a trigger warning on this show.
I mean, doesn't the show constantly have a trigger warning?
So, yeah.
And but you know, he died of a cocaine overdose at 27.
And gosh, his poems are B-A-R-K.
They're dark. Yeah. We read that short one last time. It was called Sleep, right?
I read the rest of them in this anthology, and gosh. Maybe we'll read another one if you want to.
Well, it's dark times, you know.
But sure. How about De Profundis? De Profundis. It is a stubble field where a black rain is falling. It is a brown tree that stands alone. It is a hissing wind that encircles empty houses. How melancholy the evening is. Beyond the village, the soft orphan garners the sparse ears of corn. Her eyes glaze round and golden in the twilight, and her womb awaits the heavenly bridegroom. On the way home, the shepherd found the sweet body decayed in a bush of thorns. I am a shadow far from darkening villages. I drank the silence of God out of the stream in the trees. Cold metal walks on my forehead. Spiders search for my heart. It is a light that goes out in my mouth. At night, I found myself in a pasture covered with garbage and the dust of stars. In a hazel thicket, angels of crystal rang out once more.
Oof.
Once more.
Are these, I mean, these are also translated, right?
Yeah, sure.
Have been written in German or...
I have a spider search for my heart is an amazing line. Cold metal walks on my forehead. What do you think that, you know, I was wondering, maybe like a...
Cold metal walks on my forehead?
Cold metal walks on my forehead.
That's a...
Maybe there's a pistol pointed...
No, point? I think that's the helmets in the war.
Okay. Yeah, definitely that it is a stubble field where black rain is falling, made me think that he was at... Yeah, he was in the war.
Yeah.
But it's funny that to a word like... And then I wonder about the translation. A line like, how melancholy the evening is, just that seems too light a word for what this evening is.
Yeah.
Seems a lot more than just melancholy.
Oh, how melancholy.
Oh, how melancholy the evening is. So that might be a translation thing, or it might be a little attempt at humor in the middle of the... I am a shadow far from the darkening villages. I drank the silence of God out of the stream and the trees. I know we joke about our closing poems happening to coincide with our... George Trakl, folks. Love him, hate him, get at us, let us know.
I mean, I was just floored that he, you know, died at 27, because that seems like that. I mean, he's not famous, or he's not as famous as Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin, but, you know, and that just seemed strange to me. And I love stumbling upon something like that. And my heart goes out to the Trakl family. It's been tough losing Georgie like that.
And I think it's okay to close that poem. I told you, you know, I told you that I was going to read that other thing, but folks, if you want to, David Roth wrote a good... It's available on defector.com. David Roth wrote a good editorial called Billionaire Dipshit and His Strike Team of Greasy Beavises Are Stripping the Wires from the Federal Government. I'm not going to read it because I feel like there's been plenty of that talk. But I was telling Matthew, you know, especially in the last 4 months, I've been really missing Hunter Thompson and that editorial, you know, I feel like was specifically homaging him. Or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have his...
You've been missing Hunter Thompson, Hunter his, S?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be... I feel like he would be good to have right now.
Yeah. He, you know, his mind would be exploding, I think, now. He wasn't a square.
Nope.
Well, there's 199. Our next episode is 200, even though we've already had the 200th special.
The big 200.
Yep.
Featuring Alex Battles and Nicholas Reigns in conversation.
I hope so. I hope so. I guess we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Well, that was fun. Good to talk to you. Feel a little better.
Shout out to Ellen Ferguson. Lindsay told me that she had been catching up on our podcast again. So hello, and much love to all of you listeners.
Whoever's still listening. All right, we love you. Whoever's still listening. And the poor of the choices
was really the wild.
You think